And is that it?
I think so.
Excellent. Well, that was Samba de Orfeu?
I believe so, yeah.
And you are listening to Elephant Loaf here. This is our first show of the semester. This is Luke on air with 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Back to the show where we interview a different guest every week. And this week we have Gabe on.
Hello. Good morning. Happy to be here.
Oh, one thing that I have totally forgotten is in our pre-show little talk is, Gabe, introduce yourself however you would like to.
Cool. My name is Gabe. I am a junior here at Tufts. I'm also a radio show host. Quick plug, I'll be on at 3 for anyone listening who wants to tune back in. I guess I'll introduce myself by way of knowing Luke. I'm part of 2, which is an outdoor community that we are both a part of that is dedicated to leading people into the outdoors and hoping that they don't die for about a week. But it's a really great community on Tufts, so Luke and I know each other through that. And it's just a very goofy, fun space. And then it's really fun to carry these friendships, these connections back to campus that aren't necessarily as community-oriented, as goofy, as fun. And then to have like friendships like this where it, you know, you keep those values. So I guess that doesn't give you too much about me. What else do I do? Play soccer here on campus for club soccer. I'm an EMT, so I'm on TEMS. I love my family. That's about all you need to know.
That's a very solid lineup. We were talking about how you had a 6 a.m. show and would just play. Is it a lot of music like that, or is it also just a lot of calm type stuff?
It was a lot of calm type stuff, yeah. So I had a 6 a.m. show on Mondays my freshman year, because freshmen just get bad slots.
Yep.
But I tried to make the most of it. I had a very ambitious idea for a radio show. I wanted to do like genre by genre. So I would pick genres for the most part that were calmer. So like neo soul, that's like Portuguese, Brazilian jazz, like R&B. And I would just play that sort of music and focus on a couple artists and just like dance around the studio because there was no one else here and no one else was awake. And I would walk down, you know, rain, shine, snow. A couple times I was late because I just overslept my alarm. Yeah. And just kind of dance around. It was a good time.
That's awesome. It's the thing I love about radio is it's a dedicated hour in your week to just sort of relax. Like, you've got stuff to do, but you're just listening to music and goofing around most of the time.
Yeah, it is. And because I feel like, I don't know about you, but for me, I try to use music to relax anyways, but it's always, most of the time, it's in combination with something else like homework or walking somewhere, or, you know, what have you. So it's nice to just like have a dedicated hour to just sit with whatever you've been listening to and sit with whatever you're playing and like share that with other people, for sure.
Definitely. I've had I did radio in high school and then also in college, and I've had a lot of like late night hours where I just crank tunes, sing at the top of my lungs, not on air, of course. But it's a good time.
What was the radio you did in high school?
So my high school had see, we are WMFO here. We were WIQH there. And it live shows from really the end of the school day until about 10 o'clock every night. And then some recorded shows on the weekends and things like that. I got into it through a friend of mine. I would sit in on her show, and then we ended up having a show together. She wanted to play anything in the world. I said, we've got to have at least a little bit of a theme for this to continue. And so we decided that every week we would do a different theme.
Nice.
Which I feel like is something a lot of people have thrown. At the time, it felt like a very novel idea. But I think a lot of people have thrown it out.
Yeah. Did you have a favorite theme that you did in high school?
So one of the Mars rovers got buried in sand, right? In Mars, I forget, it was Curiosity or Opportunity,
right?
Maybe.
Some lofty word.
Yeah, and they played a whole bunch of, they transmitted a whole bunch of music to it as they realized that they were losing connection with it. So we did one show that was just all of the songs that they broadcasted to the robot.
That's hilarious. Was it like a goodbye message?
Kind of, yeah. And it was
like, goodbye, farewell to your robot.
kept on making jokes like next we have Here Comes the Sun, something the Opportunity rover will never see again.
Brutal.
It was.
I guess
brutal.
It's a robot. It's not that brutal.
Yeah, but it is kind of sad.
Yeah.
It was a good time.
That's funny.
Did you start in college with radio?
Yeah, I started. Yeah, I made for a couple courses in high school. I made podcasts. And I really liked that format, and I listened to a lot of podcasts just at home with family and such. So actually the first format of radio that I did was like more podcast oriented, and like,
yeah,
it was like genre by genre, and we kind of explore and explain the history. And then that ended up just being a lot of work, like just research wise. So then it just turned into like good vibes, good music. But yeah, I did start in college, but it wasn't an interest that started in college.
Mm-hmm.
It was just nice to like, I don't know. I feel like also college radio is one of those things where it's just like part of the stereotype of college almost.
Yep.
It's like when you think of college, you're like, and I'll join the radio station and like do this and that with my friends. So it was definitely like also partially that. Yeah, for me, I'm from California, so it's also been a really, really nice way to like keep in touch almost with people back home and just be like, yo, listen in. And like, even though it's not a phone call or whatever, like it's scheduled into my week and I get to kind of play music for those people oftentimes, which is super cool. Sorry, that was a long answer, but it's something I got into in college. Yeah,
so great answer. Yeah, I do like that it's live. There's something that like when I think about my friends or family listening to it, either at their colleges where they are now or back home or wherever, like I think there's something when thinking about radio as a connection that makes it really cool that you can't edit and you can't like go back and change things or make it just perfect, you know,
because
the squeak of the chair will be on this show forever now.
Yeah, and just on this show though, hopefully other studios have less squeaky chairs.
Yep.
But yeah, that's true. It is super true. Yeah, it's nice because it feels like, especially when I was doing like the 6 a.m. slots, it would feel like I was bantering with no one.
Yep.
But it's just like such a fun way to talk and like explain things, especially when you have something to say about the music that isn't just like your opinion. Like in my case, it was like, you know, whatever I'd researched, like to present that and try to present that in like a cool, fun, engaging way is also just like, I don't know, it's made me a better like talker, storyteller, whatever. So it's kind of like, I don't know, it's not practice per se, but it's just fun. It's just fun to like talk to the abyss a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. Because, you know, you've at least got the idea that someone could be listening.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, totally. Which is nice.
Yeah. You could jump into some of the questions if we want
to. Yeah, yeah, shoot.
I was liking that.
Whatever you like.
Let's see. I'm always curious in these. What is a strange, funny, or kind thing that a stranger has done that has stuck with you?
Actually, a lot of I try to, I don't know, I like smiling at people like in public, like not in like a weird way, but like if we're both in like a community garden and like someone's like walking by, I'll be like, oh, like, you know, good morning, whatever. So actually that happened this summer. I was in New York City in a community garden, Elizabeth Street Community Garden, which go support that cause because it's might get torn down. So if you live or know people who live in New York City, tell them about it. But I was there with a close friend of mine, from high school who I hadn't seen in a couple years. She goes to NYU. And we were just hanging out, and this guy in a straw hat with a bright purple ribbon around the top and these like silver glasses that were like clearly handmade, and you can kind of like see the hammer indentations on the frame.
Whoa.
And he's wearing this like open ruffled tuxedo shirt with like the sleeves rolled up, and he doesn't have like cufflinks or anything. And on his right wrist, he has like a lot of like just tied colorful strings. On his left wrist, he's wearing like a silver or platinum watch and kind of translucent jade bracelet. And he's wearing this big, he's wearing these really big red corduroy pants and green shoes. I'm like, this guy is such a character. Like, I gotta smile at this guy. So I'm like, yo, what's up? He's like, hey, how's it going? I'm like, sir, you like look like you walked out of a painting. And he was like, he smiled and he laughed a little bit. And he came up and he was like, thank you so much. And we ended up talking, my friend and I, for like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like necessarily one thing that he did, but he like told us about his life, and like he was a philosopher, and his whole actually something that Luke and I were talking about earlier just today was like how the start of school is, and like how we, at least I feel like, bound by the need to be productive.
Yeah.
And a lot of things that he shared like from his life in different philosophies, like he studied both Eastern and Western, and also just kind of how he tries to like lead his life, what he said like he's trying to lead a beautiful life is like not being tied to those things and not thinking as rationally about like how you should be spending your time to be productive, but rather just like feeling what feels good and like spending your time doing whatever feels good. And that was something that happened in the middle of the summer, and something that I've tried to carry with me for, you know, since then. It's obviously hard when you have homework stacking up,
yeah,
and a bunch of different obligations, but I think like it was just really kind of him to take the time to like talk to us and not in the negative connotation of this word, but like condescend to us and like bring the experience that he had from his life and just be like, yo, like, young and like calm down, like just feel a little bit more. And yeah, he also a bunch of different things. He like asked us just very in-depth questions about our lives and was like, I just think you need to like think about like stillness and like being still, or like trusting your gut. And they're just like a lot of things that I wrote down afterwards that I like kind of will return to. So yeah, that's the kindest thing someone has done, a stranger has done for me. Actually, maybe anyone has done for me in the last year.
Yeah.
But that was phenomenal. Yeah. His name was Edwin. If you ever see a guy like that, if you ever see Edwin in the Elizabeth Community Garden, tell him to email me. He said he would. He never did. I was like,
oh no.
Well, he wrote a book, yeah, and he was like, I'll send you the PDF. And I gave him my email, and I like still haven't gotten a PDF. Yeah. Anyways,
that's
Edwin.
Unfortunate.
Shout out.
But I mean, there's something magical about that being sort of a transitory moment, I feel like.
Yeah.
But he should email.
Yeah, I mean, it's transitory, but at the same time, like, he, like, gave me advice that was so, like, pertinent and important that I, like, it's, like, one of those connections where you're, like, I want to interact with that person. Like, I want to learn from that person again.
Yeah.
Interact, converse, you know, in whatever form. So, yeah, it's, but it does totally, like, exist as this, like, transitory kind of special memory of my summer in my head, so... So yeah, I guess it does give it this kind of like mysterious, like Edwin, this mysterious guy wearing the tuxedo shirt and, you know, the jade bracelet and whatnot, who like wandered into my life, gave some advice and wandered out. But yeah.
There's something magical about people. To me, there's been something magical about people that can like skip the small talk and just very meaningfully and genuinely ask questions about who you are. How are you really feeling right now? What are your problems and how are you trying to deal with them? And I think that's something that I haven't mastered, but I want to, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like the format of the show like shows that you're well on that way, you know, like
well,
here you are asking me questions about my life that make me think and make me appreciative that you're asking these questions. So, you know, I don't think you're too far off, Luke.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah. How about you? What's the kindest thing someone's done for you recently?
Well,
stranger or otherwise.
See, recently a man on this show gave me a bear hug and told me that I was special just the way I was and that I was important, and that I shouldn't change for anyone. And I'm very genuine when I say that I appreciated that quite a bit.
Sounds like good advice.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that goes for everyone, a lot of people, everyone we feel warmly towards, certainly. Yeah. But, yeah, I really, really did appreciate that. And your story did remind me of something entirely unrelated, though,
sure,
if you'll allow me to go on a tangent. I went on the Tufts and Talwar program this summer.
Yeah.
And I had an 8-hour... fever dream of a layover in Dublin, where I thought I was gonna get out and see the city a little bit and like do that whole thing, but, you know, I didn't know where my connecting gate was. My phone was almost out of battery. I didn't want to leave the airport and then just be stranded. And so I got in the line to stay in the airport rather than leave the airport. And I found out that once you've entered the Dublin airport, it's very hard to leave. And so I spent 8 hours wandering around what is not the largest airport in the world, very tired and trying to stay awake so jet lag didn't eventually get to me later on. And it was brutal. But at the very end of that, I ran into an old man waiting for his departure. Right as I was about to get on mine as well. And we had maybe a 10 or 15 minute conversation where he told me about his life. He told me about his kids. He told me about his wife who had recently passed. I saw that he was in a group of similarly aged people that were all wearing the same light blue lanyard. And he told me that he was going to Spain to process and to join this sort of pilgrimage situation where they were going to hike or at least walk a couple hundred miles over the course of a couple weeks. And it's a very special moment where he went, you know, do you have any Irish in you, son? And I was like, a little bit, I think. He went, well, you're Irish in my book. And I was like, well, that's all you need, I think. That is all you need in the world. But he...
Being Irish.
Well, I'm just kidding. I think that's all you... I consider myself Irish. I'm like maybe a quarter Irish, but an Irishman has called me Irish, and so I think that's all you need.
There you go.
I might apply for my passport now, but I don't think that'll quite work. We'll see.
You got the stamp of approval.
I got the stamp of approval. Yeah, but it was cool to hear about him, and he was so proud of all of his children, and he was talking about, you know, how they were doing and where they were at in their lives. And actually, a couple of times in what would be a 6-week program, but starting there, a couple of times I saw a number of old people where I'm like, these are people that have lived a happy life, and this is a place I can be one day, and that's really cool.
May we all be so lucky.
Yeah.
I've actually been thinking about that. It's okay. College is weird. Another tangent, but
something
I've been thinking about recently is like, I'm now going into like things in my life, whether they be friendships, relationships, like opportunities, whatever it is, with the like view of how am I going to look at this when I'm like old?
Yep.
Which is really weird, but like, The way I articulate that is like, I want to do things that when I have grandkids, my grandkids are like, dang, like grandpa did some cool stuff.
Yeah.
like that's like a weird thought that I've had, but it's also, I'm lucky enough to be very close to my grandparents. And I was that grandkid. I'm still that grandkid. I'm like, dang, grandma and grandpa did some like cool stuff. So it's kind of, I don't know, I guess that motivation is passed on, but I totally get that. Like it's taking influence from people that you see around you who are older than you, where you're like, dang, like they have it figured out, or maybe they don't have it figured out, but they're just happy where they're at and like have lived a good life. And yeah. How was Tawar, by the way?
It was incredible. I lived probably, I was tied for being with one of the most remote host families. And so it was a lot of biking to and from school. But we lived in this little mountain valley that was right off of the lake where everyone else lived. Yeah. And I loved my host parents to death. They're awesome. And they were another example of like, you know, they're out here, they've both just had a major career change in their like 40s and 50s, and are living a life that I want someday, where they're like having these really fun weekday picnics in the evening with you know, all of their friends. And my host dad is a gardener, kind of a landscaper for a living now, but he was part of a cheese syndicate. And
wow, what does that mean?
Best I could tell, it was like quality assurance and like making of the regional cheese of the area. He was like making sure that it was being made the right way. And yeah.
Cool. I'm sure the French take their cheese quality very seriously. Was it like a governmental job? Was he like hired by the state to make sure that the cheese was up to snuff?
He was a bit worse at English compared to my host mom, and I am atrocious at French, and so there was a lot that was lost in translation there. But I think it might have been. Genuinely might have been a government job. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Classes were great. My host family was incredible. And I met a lot of people at school that I'm excited to wave at and say hi to around campus now. Made a couple good friends as well.
Nice. What were the courses you took?
I took Flowers of the Alps.
That's phenomenal.
It's really neat. It is really neat. It's all about plant taxonomy. You memorize the families and the species and the common names of about 90 to 100 French plants. The highlight of the course is every week you go on a hike. And you learn your suite of new plants. You see them in the wild for the first time.
So cool.
Yeah. So that was loads of fun. And the professor is just wild, crazy, neat guy.
Yeah.
And he does it in France. He did a very great job teaching the class.
Do you have a favorite flower?
Yeah, golden hawksbeard.
What does it look like?
It is pretty much like, so the yellow phase of a dandelion, where it's just kind of a lot of like yellow single straight petals.
Yeah.
Orange.
Whoa,
and
cool.
I'm a fan of orange flowers. Yeah. I'm a fan of orange. I'm is my favorite color. Yeah,
me too. I've never met someone whose favorite color is orange that I haven't liked.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, there you go.
But then again,
it's kind of a rare favorite color.
I don't. I don't know if it is.
Okay.
I think it like used to be. Yeah. You know, back in the day, like on like you know middle school, and you're like, my favorite color is blue. Like I think
a lot of blues, a lot of blues and purples.
A lot of blues and purples, and like I think our age group's favorite colors are like orange and green for the most part.
Yeah,
at least from the community that I'm in. I wonder, that'd be a funny study, like favorite color by age.
That would be really good.
I wonder if that changes with like geography too. I wonder if like
culturally it's got to have some sort of impact,
right? Yeah, but I, at the same time, we all live in the same like tactile world, so I guess like you associate like at least in the same natural world, I suppose, but like I would assume that you associate the same things with the same colors, like red danger, orange sunset, blue water, green tree, like at a very like basic primal level, and then like the cultural use of colors probably like gets more complex, like I'm sure in like traditional tiling, like if you want, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm speaking out off the dome.
Yep.
That'd be funny though.
It'd be neat. Yeah. Really neat.
I wonder what my favorite color is gonna be when I'm like 60.
Has it changed a couple of times?
Yeah. It used to be blue. Totally used to be blue. And then last summer I spent about a month in Wyoming. It was where I got my EMT certification, Lander, Wyoming. It has this. It's just called Red Canyon, which you can imagine what color it is. But it's this really like deep orange oxidized canyon. And that's kind of just like a slash on like an otherwise like pretty plateaued, like estepa type landscape. And so that orange was my favorite. I'm not really, it's like a kind of darker.
Gabe's pointing to his water bottle cap right now.
Yeah. I can't describe. Okay, describing colors.
Been in Utah, if that helps.
Yeah, it's like kind of like that, but I'm trying to like give a description that's like disconnected to geography.
Oh, okay.
It's like when you're exactly like 67% of the way through a sunset. I don't know. I'm not sure how to describe it.
Yeah,
what I mean. Like it's kind of a darker orange, and then also sage green. I used to there were a couple road trips I used to do in the desert, back in California where there are deserts, and we would burn sage, and I love that scent, and like a landscape of like kind of dustier orange, brown, gray dirt with like a dustier green is just like mesmerizing to like look at like hills of rolling sage. So those are my two favorite colors right now. I'm sure yeah. I'll change at some point. Blue was my blue is my favorite color for a while because it's actually completely dependent on just where I've spent time in nature most recently, to be honest.
Yeah,
reflecting on it now, but there is a really, really cool deep blue I did. I sailed from Mexico to Hawaii back in the day. Yeah, it was what year was it, 2018, 19, something like that. But the middle of the Pacific is like the most magnificent blue, the most like profound, deep, like nurturing blue you've ever seen.
Yeah.
So that was my favorite color for a while, and then I ruined it because I tried to paint my room that color and it was just like kind of electric and like not
too much.
The same.
Yeah.
I would like walk into my room at home and it's like a jump scare. You're like, whoa, my God, that's blue. But,
so, makes an impression.
Yeah, it's a blue that has something to say, but it's definitely not the blue I was looking for.
Do you think a different color of paint would have captured it, or do you there's just not a
like thousands of feet of clear water would capture it, but yeah. I think paint is a little
bit hard to fit that in a room.
Maybe I don't know. Yeah, why is orange your favorite color?
Oh, it has been for a very long time now. I think growing up I had a lot of Legos that I really liked that were orange, quite frankly. And I was a huge, huge Lego kid. And I think there's something about the warmth and the brightness that I really like. I definitely converted to having orange as a favorite color when I was living in New Mexico. And we had this, on our balcony, we had this great view over the city of the sunsets. And I think that also played a huge role in it. But I had a couple of toys that I really liked that had orange, and then also it was in the world around me, and it just felt right. Yeah. I don't know, something about it just felt right.
How often do you think about your favorite color? Like, as your like, how often does like orange pop in your head?
Like, low key, pretty often. Like, a couple times a week, I would say.
That's valid.
Yeah, two or three.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually kind of similar, but it's just because I like playing with colors, like, in what I wear.
Yeah.
Like trying to match them. And autumn, of course, is, like, I'm wearing, like, brown and a red t-shirt right now with, like, kind of cream-colored shoes. Not that that's that important. But, like, it's just fun to think about colors and, like, what you're wearing and what they, like, kind of represent, I guess. And right now is a very orange season.
Yep.
So, been thinking about orange a lot.
I feel like fall started early. Like, I think everyone agreed that fall would start in September this year, and I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, me too. It's definitely not a summer September.
Yeah.
Like, when's the equinox? When's the fall equinox? Is that the 21st
September? I know it's generally the 21st of some month. I would assume September, but I'm not sure.
I'm going to give it a quick Google.
Of course.
Fall autumnal equinox. 2023. The 23rd. At 2:49 a.m.
That's
a Saturday.
That feels
right.
It would be an all day thing, I would think.
I think the day is the equinox, but the exact moment of like equinox in the orbit is.
Oh. Okay.
Is that the spring equinox in the southern hemisphere? It's got to be, right.
That would make most logical sense to me.
I've just never had that thought before.
I've never had it either. I've got a friend studying abroad in the southern hemisphere right now.
Oh, cool.
And wow. She's doing like, she's had the winter, spring, summer transition once in Massachusetts. She's going to have it once right now in Argentina. And then she's going to have it again when she comes back.
She's going to be so ready for winter.
Yep.
I've been on the edge of winter three times. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Should we play some tunes?
Let's play some tunes. Let's. Right. I had just begun to listen to Aguas de Marzo.
Yeah, that's a spring song.
That's a spring song.
Yeah, that's been my favorite song. There's a reason I picked all these, but
yeah, We can get into Little Dragon. I know you said that was...
Yeah, yeah, let's play Ritual Union.
Song
this
of
is
the
a song. Yeah, there's a song that I chose, one song that reminds me of my dad, one song that reminds me of my mom, and then all of them have reasons for why I've chosen them. But this one reminds me of my mom, and I used to hate this song. Like, she'd play it in the car and be like, are we listening to this song about marriage? Like, what is up with this? And then my music taste developed and matured, and then I like sent it to my mom one time because I had heard it, and I was like, this is a bop, and like, I used to hate this. I like sent her a formal apology. Like, this is a good song. So yeah, this is a good song.
I'm excited for it. I'm in your mom's camp. That's a really, really good song.
Yeah. Yeah. She just texted me, actually, this song slaps! Exclamation point. End quote.
It's true.
It does slap. PSA time.
Yep.
Time for PSA. What does PSA stand for, Luke? Give the people what they want.
Give the...
wrong answers only.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we're looking for wrong answers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see.
The correct answer is public service announcement.
Purple showers anytime.
I like that. Shout out Prince. Our PSA, our purple showers anytime today, is about Tufts Community Day, which is going to be Sunday, October 1st. So if you're in the Tufts area, you should come and join neighbors, families, and friends for Tufts Community Day on Sunday, October 1st from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. The event will take place on the Academic Quad at Tufts Medford Somerville campus. For those of you who don't know where that is, that's at the top of the hill. And the highlights of the day will include live music and dance performances by student groups, bound to be very good, information from Medford and Somerville community groups, research projects by Tufts University faculty, and, for children of all ages, crafts, portrait artists, jumbo lawn games, and other activities, plus a free lunch for everyone. I will be there. Community Day is free and open to the public. All events are handicap accessible, I'm not sure what the correct spelling of that is, and free parking is available. Events including lunch will take place on the main academic quad at the top of the hill by Goddard Chapel, Ballou Hall, and the statue of Jumbo, our faithful elephant mascot. Community Day will be held rain or shine, knock wood, shine. For more information, just search the web for Tufts Community Day. This has been a Purple Showers Anytime message from Tufts Office of Community Relations and WMFO in Medford, Tufts Community Freeform Radio.
Excellently done.
Yeah, there we go. That was a good performance for the first of the semester. Those who listen to my show know that I'm normally very poor at reading public service announcements. So I'm feeling happy about that one.
Yeah, you did great. The only thing I might change is I think it's Goddard Chapel, not Goddard.
Not Goddard. Ah, oh, shoot.
But now you know for next time.
Goddard. Yep. Chapel. Look it up.
So you had to, you've tabled for Community Day before.
Yeah. We did, I'm on Thames, which for those of the people not part of the Tufts community is the Tufts Emergency Medical Service. And part of our outreach is like just being around, making sure that people know that calling 911 is not a scary thing. So last year we did the winter or fall or spring semester rather in the Joyce Cummings Center, and we were helping people. Our like activity was like helping people make twist tie animals or like pipe cleaner animals, which was a blast.
That's awesome.
It was fun to like play like a kid again for an afternoon.
Yeah. It's good whenever you let yourself do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dig in the mud and such.
Exactly. Just jump in puddles.
Make fairy houses.
Yup. Oh, yeah.
Are you a mud kid?
Don't have a formal definition of that. I don't think there probably is one, is my guess.
It's just the general vibe.
Not horribly. To this day, kind of like to be clean. Like I'm trying to get into baking, but I like having my hands a certain texture, you know? Yeah. And so sometimes when they get too powdery, I wash my hands all the time while I'm cooking or baking. Mm-hmm. I did eat grass, though, and I found out that not everyone ate grass and dirt as a child.
I was talking to someone recently who made like clover and grass salads.
Okay.
And would like eat them.
Yeah.
And I was like their thing. I've never eaten a clover. I've been told I should eat clovers. Apparently they're tasty.
I've never gone. I haven't made a salad. I haven't gone that far. But I've been known to chew on the occasional leaf of grass.
I gotta say the like bottom part of the stem, like the white part.
That's the good part.
That's the tender part.
That's the good part.
I wouldn't like fiend grass, but like field day, I'd be sitting there like munching.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
just chewing grass and such.
Because whenever anyone is sitting down in grass, there is some period of time until they start pulling it.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Everyone has some period of time. It could be seconds, minutes, or hours.
Yeah.
Probably not days. Logistically.
You've been on Preslon for 3 days.
You will get bored to the point that you start pulling grass. Yeah. And then it's just one more step to put it in your mouth.
Yeah. So it's like a natural human inclination. It's like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of Freudian.
Were you a mud kid?
I was kind of... I didn't really grow up in a place that was like super conducive to mud kiddery.
I was a sand kid, you know?
Yeah. I was like a public park lawn and brook kid.
Okay.
And also like there's this really, really nice public park behind my house. I'm from the Bay, and there's kind of a ridge that defines kind of the eastern edge of the bay. And there's a park there called Tilden, and I would spend a lot of time, like, my grandma would take me and my twin sister out, and we'd just, like, mess around in, like, the various brooks and, like, backwoodsy areas, like, make fairy houses and such. So it wasn't, like, mud. Like, I wasn't, like, I guess I was a mud kid.
Okay,
but it was oftentimes, like, I wouldn't just go and be in the mud. I was, like, kind of, like, scheduled is the wrong word, but, like, I had an escort to be a mud kid.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. If you will. I had a mud kid chauffeur. I had a mud adult, if you will.
To oversee the mud kidding.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Exactly. Supervised mud kidding.
One of the better kinds, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, unsupervised is great, but someone will cry at some point, yes, I feel like. Yeah.
It has more, like, feral connotations.
Yes, it certainly does. It certainly does.
Yeah.
Let's see. Another question?
Sure, yeah. Sure.
I also, maybe...
We could shoot another song.
We could shoot another song?
Yeah.
Let's get another song in there.
I don't know what I want to... What are we looking at?
I also want to ask about your big sailing trip at some point.
Yeah,
get
yeah.
a little bit more context on that. But that can be after this song.
Are you feeling, like, soul or neo-soul? Or
you were talking about neo soul a little bit earlier. It's got me curious about it.
Yeah, let's do here. I'm gonna grab a different version of this song. But this is gonna be called "Changes" by Charles Bradley. He is a neo soul artist. Should I just add it to the queue here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's a neo soul artist from New York City, who wasn't discovered until his 60s, and he used to, or not his 60s, until. Much later in life, basically, he like worked as a, you know, various menial jobs, but his like real passion was he was like a kid in kind of the true golden soul eras of like the 50s and 60s, and then grew up and there wasn't really a market for that anymore. But he still loved singing it, and he would sing it in clubs on the weekends. And a scout like found him in a club, and he, this was actually there was one main neo soul record label in the 90s. In early 2000s in New York. I'm forgetting what they're called, but it was run by a French guy and an American guy. And the American guy found him in a club and was like, we got to sign this guy. So they signed him, and he made a couple albums, and then he unfortunately passed away a couple years later from some disease. I can't remember what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But he's an incredible, incredible voice. It's very tragic music, actually. Or his voice is very... It's a very tragic voice.
Okay.
But it's good. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
It's called Changes.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
said each day. In love together, we found a way. But soon the world had its evil way. My heart was blind.
And we're back.
We are back.
And so we've determined that soliloquize... during the break, we have determined that soliloquize is a verb that means speak one's thoughts aloud when by oneself or regardless of any hearers. Yeah. Utter a soliloquy.
That's kind of what being a radio show host is about when you don't have guests. When you don't have a guest on.
Yeah.
Soliloquize. And then it took us a while to spell soliloquize.
It's a tricky one.
I'm a very poor speller.
It's a tricky.
Genetically, I'm a horrible speller. like my grandma and my mom are both like, I guess that's probably,
that counts.
Probably nurture. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, bit of both. Sorry, grandma and mom for exposing your lack of spelling ability on air.
I'm sure they feel horribly betrayed.
I'm gonna get texts about it later.
I'm pretty bad at it too. It always comes up in a Shakespeare unit for some reason, and so like I feel like I've seen it more than
to soliloquize.
That's true.
Soliloquy. It's fun to say.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite word?
That's a great question. I've been asked it before every time I come up with a new word that speaks to me in the moment.
That's fair.
How about you?
I don't. I used to have... mine used to be, like, system, just for the spelling, like, ooh, way back in the day.
I do. But system's then, good word.
But now system is, like, too, like, boxy and, like, limited.
Yeah.
Of a word. So I don't really have a... I don't really have a favorite word.
Knick-knack.
Knick-knack?
Uh-huh. Is a good word. And I recently saw a post that took thingamajig and went through in all of these different cultures and languages what is the word for thingamajig. And wildly they had similar, they were all about a similar length, they had similar like
that's crazy.
I mean, just because like all you're saying is like it's something, yeah, something, you know,
it's,
like
this is something, you know,
the Japanese, yeah, but it's like nani nani, you know. Like it's just like it's a something.
It's funny. Yeah, I think, yeah, that's a funny something is. I've also been thinking about intonation a lot recently, like,
okay,
how you say words and like how they come across, and it's come in the utterance of being like mm-hmm. Like there's so many different ways to be like
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can be like, it could be sassy, you could be like mm-hmm, it could be like, okay, you're pulling my leg, like uh-huh, it could be, well, that's more of a huh. It could be like, it could be curt, it could be like mm-hmm,
yep,
you know, like walk late into class and your teacher's and you're like, oh my god, I'm so sorry, and your teacher's like mm-hmm, it's like you're
like,
you're
sure, you are
in a good place, sure you are. Yeah, yeah, intonation's fun.
It is
the,
yeah,
way in which you say things.
Yeah, truly not what you say, but how you say it.
Yeah, yeah. Which I actually like used to not think about at all, and now I think about a lot more.
Mm.
Like how I'm when I talk to people, not always, but like especially in like one-on-one settings.
Yeah,
I'll think about what I'm saying. Yeah,
I'm big on like the active listening, where like I'm going like uh-huh, yeah,
yeah,
keep going. Sure. Indeed. And sometimes I worry that people see that as like the video game, like press X to make the dialogue go faster thing,
yeah,
you know, which,
yeah,
every once in a blue moon is what I'm using it for, but generally not, because, yeah, I try to be polite.
Yeah, I do that too actually a lot, and I always wonder if it's distracting the people who are talking.
Yeah.
If I'm like, if someone's saying something, I'm like, yeah, totally, I totally agree. Like, are they like, okay, shut up, like, well, let me just get the thought out.
You're throwing me off my rhythm.
Yeah, let me soliloquize, if you will. But yeah, that's a good thought.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Well, we are
close to the end.
Close to the end. I'm going to give it another minute and 30 seconds before I pop them with that legal ID, but...
With the legal ID.
Yeah.
The WMFO. Tough Freeform Radio. See,
save it.
It's all about intonation. Sorry.
Save
it. I got to can it.
It'll be worth more later.
All right. Yeah, that's true. That's, yeah, true. It'll also be within our legal limits later.
All right. So, in one sentence, how was your Mexico to Hawaii sail run? Because these things can be summed up in one sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a period. It was an adventure in which... It was an adventure of maturation, introspection for the first time in my life in a true way. And realization about certain virtues and values in my life, such as adventure and exploration, generosity, teamwork and communication, sacrifice even, and the importance of fascination in what you do or for what you do. Yeah. That's a super compound sentence, but period.
I was gonna mark a point off, yeah, actually, yeah, if you, yeah, didn't include the period.
Red
so.
Ink.
Yep, red ink. So that was an incredibly profound sentence.
Thank
nice
you.
Nice job.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I sat with my eyes closed for about 5 seconds beforehand. So there you go. I try my best.
It's important to plan things out a little bit.
Yes.
You gotta have an ideation phase. You gotta have,
yeah,
some prep,
yeah,
time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know. I'm pretty good at someone. Oh, what was the word? I sent in a complete like off the cuff video for an oral presentation.
Sure.
I was taking a summer journalism course, and you're supposed to have this whole like presentation and like,
yeah,
you know, slides. And I was on a boat during it, so I just couldn't do it. And I sent in a video, like a 10-minute video of me just like ramble talking about like we were writing feature articles, and I sent in a 10-minute video of like me ramble talking. And my teacher was like, given the constraints, you're quite talented. Extraneous. There's some word like expra blah, 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 that means,
yeah,
like without a plan, like off the dome. It was like an intellectual version of just saying off the dome. So yeah, anyways, appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, we're going to wrap up, but thank you so much for coming on.
Such a joy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do it again sometime.
I'd be a fan.
Yeah, we can, Lars and I, we have a show and there's an hour break and then there's our show. It's called Birds Anonymous. Y'all should tune in. It's not nearly as profound as this is, but it's a little bit more focused on groovy music. But
yeah,
if you want to stop by as a guest anytime, if you have that open slot.
I got a class then, unfortunately. Okay. But
well,
it'll happen at some point.
It'll happen.
Like we got spring. There's
I trust.
There are times. Sweet. Yeah. So well,
thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on.
Absolute joy. Absolute pleasure.
I enjoyed having you on.
I enjoyed being here.
And to all of our listeners, you have been listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Stay on for the next show. And then
the next two shows.
Stay on again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just keep on rolling.
And we are going to play you out with some of August 10 by a band called?
Krungbin. Enjoy it.
Through the eyes of a girl who's still around the moon.